Hey, so we are Parsha Shemini. The source sheets are here in the front if you want them. So the shiur today is sponsored by the Goldenberg family, and really all of our learning today as a whole is sponsored by the Bachman and Goldenberg families together. So the day is and the shiur are for Hinda Bas Yitzchak, Yvette Gardner, whose yard site is today, and what appears from all the shul mailings and kol mailings appears to be every day of the past 2 months. I guess leap year, you get multiple sponsorships. Good for us. So the beginning of the source, you have the psukim in Parshas Shemini. The two psukim that we're told about, one very specific halacha, but for some reason it's repeated twice. I don't think we'll get back to it. It'd be nice if we did. But the psukim tell us here in source number one, the 11th parak of Vayikra, Mikola ochel asher ye ochel asher yavo lav mayim yitma v'chol amashke asher yishase v'chol kli yitma. So the Torah here is telling us the din of Tumas Ochlin. Tuma exists on multiple entities, on people, on kalim, things that are totally worthless and significant. They're not makabel tuma, but animals in some instances, people and kalim are makabel tuma. The Torah here says that so is ochel, so is food. A food product can also be mekabel tumah. However, it's only true if it has a specific tanai, a specific condition is met, which is that asher yavo alav mayim, that there be water that touches, that comes in contact with this ochlin. So if the ochlin comes in contact with the water, kol asher yavo alav mayim, then you could have kabbalas tumah. So that's called hechsher lit tumas ochlin. Hechsher ochlin tumah, that there's it becomes huchshar, it becomes ro'i, it becomes fit to now be mekabel tumah. Until then, it couldn't, now it can. Took him just four psukim later. V'chiyut on mayim. This one's more famous. V'chiyut on mayim. So the Torah says if water is placed, is put onto al zera, onto a seed, which is a type of ochel, v'nafum yin v'lasam alav, and then there's some tumah that comes in contact with that food. So then tameh hulachem. Then it is tameh to you. So the Torah here only specifies water. However, we know the mission in the sixth parak of Machshirin expands it to six other liquids. We're familiar with it from elementary school when they teach you about dipping foods in liquids or eating fruit that have been washed, and the chumrah that nowadays even we should really wash our hands or dry off the fruit before we consume them. So we know there's seven liquids, not even all drinks, just seven liquid substances which can cause hechsher l'tuma, not only water, six in addition to water. The Shulchan Aruch tells us yad shachat dam is the way to remember it. Yad, yayin, dam, shemen, chalav, tal, dvash, and mayim. Yad, shachat, dam. Those are the seven liquids, which if a person has food that comes in contact with them, then that food is now huchsher lekabel tumah. Where do we get those zayin mashkim from? Where does it come from that there are seven mashkim? The Torah only says water. How do you know the rest of them? So it's a drasha. The drasha in the Tarez Kohanim says, v'chol mashke, the pasuk says elsewhere, the pasuk says here in the first source, v'chol mashke, that any mashke, any drink, is a ribui. It comes to be marba. It comes to include other liquids as well. And then the Taras Konim goes on and says, and there's a lima to be lafuke other liquids, meaning why not all liquids? Why not beer? Why not a ton of other things? Answer, each one is nismait because of another drasha. So there's a ribui and then a mir on everything else. It's interesting, Reb Chaim Kanievsky has a fascinating remez over here, so you'll let your father know about this, that the pasuk here, if you look in Lamed Dalet, we're going to do this at least two more times, in Lamed Dalet, the pasuk says, asher yavo alav mayim. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky says it's extremely rare in the Torah to have a word yavo spelled male with a vav. And he says maybe it's a remez that the pasuk here is telling you about mayim and yavo with a vav. There are six others. The extra vav is telling you there are six other mashkim that the Torah is not telling you, but it's intimating, it's hinting to us there are six other mashkim that are also machshir lekabel tuma. Yeah, the Rambam in the Perish Mishnayos, he quotes all these drushas. And then he also quotes a Tosefta, which has limudim for each of the Zayin Mashkim, meaning the Taras Konim says, how do I know the rest of the Zayin Mashkim? Answer, because it says Kol Mashke and no other ones because of a Miut. Fine. Then the Tosefta goes on and says a Pasuk for each one of the Mashkim, where you see that the Torah refers to it as a Mashke. So the Rambam just writes, this is really not necessary. Really, it's a Halach L'Moshe Mizina. We know the Zayin Mashkim are mashkim, are liquids that are machshir l'tuma, mina kabbalah, and these are smachta ba'alma. The Torah gave us little hints along the way to tell us that these are also mashkim, but it wasn't really necessary, it was really a kabbalah. Okay. So food, unlike Adam and unlike Kalim, is not mekabel tumah unless it is huchshar lekabelas tumah by coming in contact with water or these other six halachic liquids. Of course, every fruit and vegetable has likely gotten wet at some point in its history, probably at many points throughout its life. So the rain is constantly falling on plants and on trees and on fruits and on vegetables. So isn't every single fruit and vegetable huchshar lekabel tumah? So the simple answer would have been, yeah, it sounds like they are, but we know that's not true. Not every fruit and vegetable is huchshar ve'omed, and there are two two dinim that we need to know that factor into why that's true. The first is that the Torah, as we mentioned before, in the second pasuk, Lamed Ches, it says, V'chiyutan mayim. Here, Chazal understand that another Chasar Malay, as I mentioned before, even though it's written, it's read as V'chiyutan, it's pronounced as V'chiyutan, that it be placed in a passive sense, in a passive way, but the Chazal and Bab Metzia and the Gemara and Kedushan Nun Tes understand that it's spelled Yud Tef Nun, without the Vav, which is a sound, could have sounded like Yitain, which means actively. So even though it's a passive falling, it could be rain falling, it could be more passive, it could be something that you didn't do on your own, but it has to be something that was ke'ilu you did it on your own, in the sense that you have to have a machshav, you have to have a ratzon that you want it to happen. It doesn't have to be mamash kavana, it could be nichusa. Nichusa ba'alma, the fact that it's desirable to you is enough to make it a case of chiyitain, which is written as chiyitain, even though it's pronounced as chiyutan. Much of, they tell me, that much of Maseches Machshirin is about this qualification, like what's considered nichusa, what's not considered nichusa, what if the water is going to spoil the food, what if it's not going to spoil the food, it's going to maintain the food, so you have a lot of different permutations, but you need that ratzon. So that's first of all in terms of rain. You need a ratzon to make it work. The second din, which we're really going to spend a little more time on, is the Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Yud Ches. The Gemara tells us that in addition to, also like this, the Gemara tells us that the peros that are mechubarim lekarka, that are still attached to the ground, that haven't been plucked yet, are not mekabel tuma. In addition to that, or really, you know, consequently, the Rambam in Tumas Ochlim, I don't know if it's on the page here, not on the page. The Rambam and Thomas Ochlin, Perek Yud Beis, paskins that fruits and vegetables, which are mechubel karka, not only are they not mekabel tuma, they also can't be mukshar lekabel tuma. The same way they can't be mekabel tuma themselves, they also can't be readied for kabbalas tuma, which means that even if it rains, and even if you say, I want that rain, I want the wet liquids to go on this plant that's attached to the ground, since it's still attached to the ground, it's not mukshar lekabel tuma. So that's the two reasons why, even though it's true that every plant and vegetable and every fruit has been rained upon, even so, you need to be machshir l'kabel tuma once it's already detached, and it has to be l'ratzon as well. And to understand those two dinim, as well as other dinim, so we need to turn to the classic chakira in the question of hechsher ochlin. In the din of hechsher ochlin, there's really one chakira that accounts for almost every din, or at least it's if people give shirim, try to make it account for every din, which is, what's the pshat in hechsher tumah? What do you need hechsher tumah for? Why isn't food just makabel tumah or not makabel tumah? Why do you need this water on the food in order to make it makabel tumah? So there's two ways to say it. We're going to say one first and the second, but I'll just spell it out for you. The first way to say it is that's a din in the ochel. The shame ochel is dependent upon the water. The second way to say it is that it's a din in the kabbalas tumah, that the transfer of tumah can only take place with the help of water. Let's get into it to see what we mean. So you look in source number one, the indented part, the Rashi font. I know, Morel, you can't read Rashi font, but if you help, Steiner can help you out over there. So the Rashi font, the Rashi says that an incredibly, incredibly important comment that really opens up the whole sugya. Rashi here notes that there's a clear requirement that you need v'chiyutan mayim. There's a clear requirement of yavol of mayim. That's absolutely necessary that the food become wet, that it become come into contact with water or with any of the shiva mashkim. However, Rashi says, once it's become wet, if you look in the second line, af mishenagav or nigav min hamayim, even if it's already been dried, even if you dry off that food, so now it's still going to be hukshar lekabel tuma forever, even if you've already dried it off. Meaning the klal, the rule, is not that the fruit has to be wet. The klal is that it has to have gotten wet. If it got wet, if it was rinsed, if it was washed, then even if you dried it off since then, it's still mekabel tuma. The Rambam paskins the way in the very beginning of Hilchos Tumas Ochlin, it's based on a Gemara. The Gemara Bava Metzia says straight up that as long as it became wet early on, even if you then rinsed it off, so historically it was washed, so it's still going to be mekabel tuma even afterwards. Where does such a thing come from? So this is gevaldik, really, really gevaldik. The Chavetz Chaim in his Hagos to the Tzaras Kohanim has a really fantastic diuk, which should say it this way. The Chavetz Chaim thinks Chazal have a fantastic deal. In the Torah's calling him, the Pasuk says, V'chiyutan mayim alzera v'nafal nivlasam alav tamehu lachem. So if water falls on the zera, on the food, and then something tame touches that the food, so it's tamehu lachem. So the Chavetz Chaim asks a simple question that he says Chazal are asking. Why is tame singular? If the food became wet, and then a sheretz touches it, or a nevela touches it, so then two things become tame, no? The water itself, and the fruit. at the same time, simultaneously, but the water and the food become tameh. So the Chabad Chaim says that's the drasha that the Taurus Kohanim picks up on. It says, how do you know that even when it's dried, it still can be kabbal tameh? Because the pasuk says tameh. What do you mean tame? What does that teach you about dried foods? So the Chabad Chaim says, no, it's in singular, tame. It should have said tmeim hema lachem. It should have said that both of them are tame, the water and the fruit. It only says tame who? Only about the food. Why is it only talking about the food? Because even if the water is gone, even if there is no water, so long as it was hoksha lekabel tuma originally by being washed, even if that water has since dissipated or since been washed, since been dried off, even so, the food is still mekabel tuma. Tame hu, the food itself is still mekabel tuma, even though there's no tmeim hema, even though there's no water that's present at the time. We'll come back to that diak b'neder mitzvah Hashem at the end of this year as well, but that's the Chavetz Chaim picks up on in the Taurus Kohanim. So Rashi here, after saying that even if it's dried up, you still have a hoksha lekabel tuma that lasts forever, Rashi then gets onto and alludes to an incredibly lumdish explanation for this din. If you keep reading in the underlined, af misha nigav min amayim, even after it's been dried off, shelo hikpida Torah ela lios alav shem ochel. That all the Torah cares about is that you wash it off, even if it's dried off afterwards, to create a shem ochel. After that, even if it gets dried up, it doesn't really make a difference because it's already gotten its shem ochel. What exactly does he mean? So the Rashbam, in source number 2, says it slightly more clearly, but the Sefer Chinuch in source number 3 really brings it home. The Sefer Chinuch tells us that the din of Hechsher Ochlin is that a food is not really considered Ochel. In order to have a din of Hechsher Ochlin, you know, in order to have a din of Tumas Ochlin, I should say, so you need the food to be Ochel. It needs to be have a Shem Ochel al pi halacha. Food is not really food al pi halacha until it's been washed, until water has come in contact, or you know, we're going to say all Zion Mashkin have come in contact with it. Why? So the Sefer HaChinuch gives a very relatable explanation, almost too relatable, too practical. So he says, just practically speaking, when a person wants to eat an apple, so before they eat the apple, they're not going to eat it with all the dust and the dirt and, Rahman al-Tzlan, worse, the pesticides on there. So what are they going to do? They're going to rinse it off. They're going to wash it off, which means that an apple, until it's been rinsed, is not really ready to be eaten. It's not really roi la'achila. So says the Sefer HaChinuch, in order to make an apple or any fruit or any vegetable, roi la'achila, you need to wash off all the grime, all the dirt, all the dust on there in order to make it finally ochel. Until then, it doesn't have a shem ochel al pi halacha. Before you wash it, before you rinse it, it doesn't have a shem ochel al pi halacha. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch picks up, there's two questions. He picks up on one of them. One of the questions is, that's true about a lot of fruits and vegetables. It's not true about every food, but every food needs to be hoksha lekabel tuma. So why is it true about all other foods if they don't need to be washed in order to eat them? So the Sefer HaChinuch says, Einachnam, it's a low plug daraisa. Meaning once the Torah had this cloud that you have to wash off most of or many of the fruits and vegetables, so it applied it to all foods. All foods have to be washed in order to be hoksha lekabel tuma, because until they're washed, they don't have a shame ochel. They're not, halachically speaking, actually an entity of food. They don't have a chalas shame ochel until that point. The other problem with this is that it's true that if I want to get the dirt off of my apple, I will use water, but I've never seen anyone take a whole vat of blood and scrub their apples down in order to make them cleaner. I don't think that's so normal to do that, or to take milk and, you know, rub it around in milk in order to make it cleaner. So it really only works for one of the Sheva Mashkin. I don't know, maybe oil to shine it. You could hear it about different things, but it's kind of a funny case where it only makes sense for Mayim. So okay, so the Torah said Mayim, and then there's a drasha to expand it. You have to say there's some Gzeres HaKasav that once it's true about Mayim and Kol Mashke, it expanded to other things. But the Yesod, the kernel over here, the Sefer HaChinuch says, is that food is not really food al pi halacha until it's been washed, until it's been rinsed. And that's why it can't be makabel tumas ochlin until it's been washed and rinsed. So look in the Chizkuni, as is clearly applying the similar yesod. Now, all this accounts for Rashi's comment before, that even after you've dried the apple off, even after you've dried the food off, it's not about the wetness. It's not about the fact that there's water or moisture on this food. So long as you wash the food, even if it then becomes dry, even if you then dry it off and there's no moisture on it anymore, it's not less of an ochel anymore. It became an ochel through being wet, and now you dried it off, but it's still an ochel. It didn't lose its shame ochel because it's wet. You dry off the apple before you eat it. It's still an apple that you can partake of, that you can eat. Additionally, it seems to explain the din, the Sefer HaChinuch is implying this as well, it seems to explain the din that you can't have food which is mechubel karka. If the apple's still on the ground, if the vegetable's still on the ground, you can't have hechsher lekabel tum in that case. Why? Because it's not ready to be eaten yet. It's not food yet. Only once you take the carrot out of the ground, the apple out of the ground, now it's an edible piece of food. So once you're machshered, it can be makabel tuma. But if it's standing there and stuck in the ground and it's not really been plucked yet, no one's eating it that way, it's not have a shem ochel al pi halacha. Yes, you can't have a hechsher l'kabel tuma when the food item is still stuck to the ground. This, you know, Yesodistic explanation of Rashi, all the Achronim point to a Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Yud Ches, where the Gemara in Chulin basically says the following line, which just proves it. Peros shelo hukshiru, peros which were not washed off, kitanur shelo nigmara malachto dami. It's exactly like a kli that hasn't had his job finished. I mean, it's not an oven. It's not a kli until you do the makapatish, until you finish the last malacha to make it into an oven. So too, an apple is not an apple until it's been washed off. It's almost an apple. If you just get the grime away, you'd be edible. But it's not really a shem ochal pi halacha until you've done the washing process. And that seems to corroborate exactly what you said. It's not a finished product until you do a hechsher of water or of the other mashkim. That's what Rashi is driving at over here as well, that the Torah wants you to shaft the shem ochal on the food, which isn't accomplished until it's been washed. Where did such an idea come from? How do we know that the proper understanding of, you know, this Hagdara of Hechsher Ochlan Tuma? So how do you know? Where does that come from? Where do you see this elsewhere? So the Rav, I've heard this from Rav Torsky Shlita, and Rabbi Gnack has this as well in one of his Sfarim. The Rav used to explain that it comes, you see it, maybe even comes from, that's part of the question, another din, that's a very interesting, fascinating din. The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Lamed Vav, you have it in Zvachim Lamed Dalad, you have it in Psachim and Chaf Dalad, maybe somewhere that range. So the Gemara tells us a concept of Chibas HaKodesh. Chibas HaKodesh is a very interesting concept. As per the Gemara, there are basically two applications of this din. Either one din with two applications or two separate dinim, that's part of the discussion that we've shown him. But there's two applications of this yisod of Chibas HaKodesh. One is that when you have a basar kachim, you have meat, that's a kachim meat, so when is it mekabel tuma? If it's ochlin, so you would expect it needs hechsher. It needs hechsher lekabel tuma. It needs to become wet in order to be mekabel tuma. But the Gemara says that since basar kachim has Chibas HaKodesh, it's so chashev, it's so desirable, it's so sanctified, and so special and beloved. So since it's such a high level, you don't even need hechsher lekabel tuma for basar kachim. So basar kachim become hechsher lekabel tuma even without the classic case of hechsher of getting it wet with the zayin mashkim. That's the first application. The second application, that's one of the applications. The other application is that the Gemara says that even etzim v'lavona, even wood or lavona, which one is it?
Frankincense,
right. I never know, myrrh or frankincense. So, or whatever, the fenugreek. So it's a frankincense. So you have a spice. It's not edible. Wood is not edible. I think Dutch people eat little wood covered in chocolate, right? So, but okay, other than them, it's not edible to eat wood. It's not edible to eat frankincense. I mean, you can smoke it maybe, but you can't eat it. So it's not the Roy Lachil. It's not a chefseshel ochlin. So how is it makabel Thomas Ochlin? Answers the Gemara, Agzeres HaKosav, a Chiddush Din, an amazing, fascinating Chiddush, that Chibas HaKodesh makes it into Hochshel HaKabel Toma. The Gemara's Lashon is Mashvil al Ochel. It makes it into an Ochel, even though it's not edible. It's just a bunch of wood. It's just a bunch of spices. Even so, it's considered like Ochlin al Pi Halacha, because Chibas HaKodesh, since it's holy, since it's sanctified, since it's Hekdish, it becomes Ochlin and doesn't need Hechsher. So the second Din is very, very strange. If they're not Ochlin, how could they be makabel Thomas Ochlin? You could tell me it's the most beloved wood you've ever met in your life because it's holy and it's sanctified and it's in the mikdash, but it's not food. It doesn't make it food that you love it so much. So what does that mean that it gets a shame ochel from Chibas HaKodesh? So the only way to understand that, the Rav, you know, drew out from here, and this is what he was explaining. The only way to understand that, if you understand, no, the whole din of hechsher tuma in the first place, it's not stam exeris hakasav. The din of hechsher l'tuma is that it's a din in the shame ochel. In order for something to be mekabel tuma, it needs to have a shem ochel al pi halacha, which means if you have food, you can machshir it and make it into food al pi halacha by getting it wet. And if you have things that aren't food, the Torah says if there are chibas hakodesh that applies, you can also give it a shem ochel al pi halacha based on chibas hakodesh. It's not about getting it wet. It's not about washing it off. It's not about washing it off is a similar lover that now it's food. So it says the Torah is a shortcut. Chibas HaKodesh makes it food as well. The whole din of Hechsher is that the food becomes Ochel through being washed. So too, Eitzim V'Lavona become Ochel, Al Pi Halacha, through Chibas HaKodesh. There's a major Machlokas Rishonim, four-way Machlokas Rishonim, whether Chibas HaKodesh is Daraisa or Darabanan, or whether one is Daraisa and one's Darabanan, Eitzim V'Lavona versus Basar Kachim, in both directions. Ramban and Rambam disagree about that. But some of the Rishonim agree that both are Darabanan or both are Daraisa. And that makes a lot of sense, because if they're both the same Yesod, there's one Yesod over here. This thing needs to become food, Al Pi Halacha. You can achieve that through Hechsher, or you can achieve that through Chibas HaKodesh. So that's true of Basar Kachim, and it's true about Eitzim V'Lavona. They become food, Al Pi Halacha, by Chibas HaKodesh. But splitting it up becomes a little bit more complicated. We're not going to get into it now because the Rishonim, it's Mesubach, there's a lot of Rishonim. But it would make sense they would go hand in hand because Chivas HaKodesh is accomplishing exactly what Mayim accomplishes, exactly what V'chiyutan accomplishes, that it makes it into Ochel al pi halacha. The other interesting thing to note, and again, can't get too far into it because it's confusing, but the Minchas Chinuch talks about this in Mitzvah Kuf Mem Hei, and it seems like Reb Chaim is talking about it in the Sefer, but there are different ways to learn Reb Chaim. But the question when it comes to Chivas HaKodesh is you really could have said it in two ways, and get ready for this. One is that you always need to have Hechsher L'Kabal Tumah, correct? You always need to have the food become wet, and therefore become like a food in order to have Kabbalas Tumah, Hechsher L'Kabal Tumah. When it comes to Chivas HaKodesh, what's the pshat? What's the pshat? Is the pshat that with Chivas HaKodesh, you have a Shem Ochel. Because Chivas HaKodesh makes this into an Ochel. Or, is it possible, Donnie, that it's not that you have Shem Ochel, but rather, you don't need it. You don't need it. Is it don't need or already have? I don't need a Shem Ochel by Kachin because they're so chashiv on their own. They're so holy on their own that it doesn't need to be Ochel. It's just Mekabel Tumah because it's so chashiv. Or no, the Chibas HaKodesh actually makes it in to a Shem Ochel, even though it's Eitzim V'Levona, even though it's wood chips and spices, it can become an Ochel. So that's a major Chakira within Chibas HaKodesh. L'chora, however you come out of that Chakira, will impact whether you say what we said before, whether you say what the Rav said, that the source, the mucker for the whole din of Hechsher Tumah, having this Hagdara of making to a Shem Ochel, comes from Chibas HaKodesh, depends on how you learn Chibas HaKodesh in the first place. That's all within Rashi. And Rav Shechter has in the Mipnina Harav, he quotes the Rav as saying, quote, anyone who knows the Aleph base of Mishnayis Machshirin, kind of limited himself on the Olam there, but anyone who knows the Aleph base of Mishnayis Machshirin, so they know that the Gedr Hadin of Hechsher Mashkin is that Shafts Achalos, Shem Ochel, in the food. So this side of the Chakir that we just said. So anyone who knows the Aleph base of Machshirin knows that. The problem is that the Ramban apparently didn't know the Alfez of Maseches Machshirin, because if you look in source number 4, the Ramban seems to take a very different opposing stand on this issue, which seems to fly in the face of the Hagdara and also of all the dinim that come out of the Hagdara as well. The Ramban starts by quoting Rashi, and then the Ramban continues to say that the true reason for Hechsher Ochlin, that you need this, you know, wetness in order to make it Mekabel Tumah, is Ki Lichluch HaSheretz, the dirt, the grime, the Tumah of the sheretz, v'hametamim, all metamim, yidbak b'ma'achalim b'lachus. It can only really cling to food when the food is wet. V'lo kem b'yaveshim, not when it's dry. V'asza Torah harchaka yisera. Anyone ever eat the hefker food from the hefker table, the pretzels? So there's a major, major chiluk. If the pretzels are in a big bucket either way, correct? Yeah. Everyone's reaching in. Some guys on Glock 1 are wearing gloves, I get it. But most guys on Glock 1 are not wearing gloves. They're sticking their dirty fingers in there, right? In the winter, you have a lot more guys wearing gloves in the basement, I hear. But most guys are sticking their hands straight into the pretzels. That's disgusting, no? LMI, it's not so disgusting, because it's just regular pretzels. But no one really is bad when they wash Nitil Sidayim, and the water gets in the pretzels. And you stick your hands in there, and you feel the pretzels are slimy and wet. So what changed? No, because that's what the Ramban said pshat in this so many years ago. The pshat is that when the pretzels are wet, everything from Glock 1 is now in the pretzels. All those guys' hands now can cling to the pretzel. Until then, okay, it's dry, it rubs off, it's not really going to stick. But when those pretzels are wet, the tumah transfers. The tumah transfers. Says the Ramban, that's not only true in our modern scientific example of Glock 1 Hefker table, it's also true in the metaphysical sense of tumah. That tumah can only really cling, can only really stick to something which is moist. If it's dry, the tumah won't stick to it at all. Agav, this seems to be clear. And the Ramban is assuming, Lishitaso, the Loka Rambam in Marnabuchim, that Tumah is a real entity. Tumah exists, a metaphysical entity, but it's a real entity. If Tumah is just a spiritual truth, it's not something that actually transfers and expands and goes into things and out of things. It's just something that we apply a term of Tumah to because Hashem says, don't do this, yeah, do that. Then what's the difference if it's wet or not wet? There's no Metzias to talk about. But the Ramban seems to be assuming there's some sort of Metzias, some sort of reality to the Tumah. Okay, so basically what you have is Rashi assumes that Hechsher L'Tumah is a din in creating the Shem Ochel. You create the Shem Ochel by making it wet. The Ramban is saying, no, Hechsher L'Kabal Tumah is not a din in the Shem Ochel. It's an Ochel on its own. It's Ochel if it's Ochel. It came out of the ground, it's edible, it's food. But the need for wetness, the need for b'chiyutan, the need for ashayavu alav mayim, is simply because tumah can't spread. It can't be transferred unless the food is wet. So it's a conductor. The wet moisture is a conductor for the tumah to go in and out. We mentioned before the Gemara in Chulin, Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes this as a clear raya for Rashi, because it said that the hechsher Peros shelo hochshru is ketan or shelo nigmar malachta dami. So the Achronim point out that on Amud Beis, that same Gemara, you have a raya for the Ramban, that the Gemara there in the sugya of Yad Lehechsher uses a term of, I think, a tchilas tuma. I forget now. Tchilas tuma. That Hechsher tuma is a tchilas tuma, which sounds like what the Ramban is saying, that it's the start of tuma. You can't have tuma without the tnai, without the transfer through the water, through the wetness on the surface. Of course, the Ramban seems untenable, because Rashi pointed out to us, and this is a halacha that the Ramban cannot deny, that when one is machshir lekabel tumah, they get something wet, it's still mekabel tumah even if you dry it off. But the Ramban is saying it's totally in the wetness. So if you would take those pretzels and you would dry them off, it would still be mekabel the same tumah, alpi halacha. But the Ramban is saying, b'metzias, they're not wet anymore, so how does the tumah transfer? How does it stick? How does it cling to the entity? So the Ramban deals with this. In source number 4, the Ramban says, in a chanami, it's true that even after it's dried off, it's still mekabel tumah. Says the Ramban, the Torah gave us a siyag. The Torah gave us a geder, a fence over here, that says, so that you don't come to eat really wet, tumah-transferred foods, even if it's been dried off. Don't deal with these things. They're still already going to become tameh. So Rabbi Yosef Engel made this Ramban famous in Lekach Tov, because he gave, this is an example of a siyag daraisa. Hopefully everyone here knows the Rabbi Yosef Engel in Lekach Tov, Simen Ches, about siyag daraisa. A bunch of psachim ago, I was not in LA, somewhere else, and I met with someone, established Talmud Chacham. He was learning, I think, at the point for like 18, 19 years in Kolo. That's what he did all day for the last 18 years. So he told me for like 17 of the last 18 years, they were learning Pesachim. So I said, where are you off to? He says, like, we just got to Amud Beis, you know, that type of thing. So I said, oh, so you've been doing like Bidika by Rabbi Amasa. Yeah, oh, yeah, the Ran. So I said, oh, Rabbi Yosef Engel, like Siag Daraisa, that Bidika and by Rabbi Amasa. So he's what? He like had no clue what I was talking about. So I said, Chach, if it's a difference in style of learning, fine. So I'm a YU guy. So the first thing I look to is I look at the Mafteach of Yosef Engel Svarim to see which Gemara is equal. And I learn those Gemaras. That I hear. But you've been learning for 18 years in Mesechus Pesachim. You didn't know the Rabbi Yosef Engel. So it's important. You should know the Rabbi Yosef Engel. So one of his famous examples is this Ramban, that is a Siag Daraisa. The Torah puts a Hachak into place, like usually the rabbis do, that we shouldn't come to have a case of Tumah on a wet food by Asering also dry foods, making those Tameh as well. The din of L'Ratzon is also problematic. If the Ramban is right, it's a Metzias. So then who cares if I wanted it to happen? Who cares if I didn't want it to happen? If it's wet, it's wet. And Tumah clings to it if it's wet. So if you look in the Bechor Shor, in his commentary on the Pesukim here, he says the Ramban Svar, and then he knocks it off with this point. He says, what do you mean? What's the difference of intent, if that's true? There are many nafkaminas between the Ramban and Rashi, in terms of what we're discussing, the Agdara of Hechsher L'Kabel Tumah. We're running low on time, so we'll skip a lot of them, but maybe instead of the more famous ones, I'll give you one famous one, but I'll give you one that's less famous, but very, very gishmak. Source number 5. The Taras Kohanim here has a drasha. It's actually the same Taras Kohanim we quoted earlier with the Chavetz Chaim's comment, but a different girsa in that Taras Kohanim. So the Taras Kohanim says, Ein li ela bizman shenitan mayim al gabe zera. You only know for sure that there's a hechsher lekabel tumah when the water is poured onto the food, right? But nasan zera agabe mayim minayin. What if it's the opposite? What if you have a pile of water? It's not what we call it. What do we call it? A puddle. A puddle of water, and you put the food onto the puddle of water. So in the case where you take a washing cup and you pour it over the food, fine, I hear. That's mekabel tumah. Okay, I get it. But what about if it's the opposite case? What if instead of a chiyutan mayim on top of the zera, you put the zera on top of the mayim? Does that also transfer tumah? Answers the Gemara, Tamad lomar tameh. Yeah, it doesn't matter whether the water on top, doesn't matter whether the food's on top. No matter what, we're going to have a case of hechsher lekabel tumah. That's the Kamash Malan. So kind of a cryptic, funny thing. What's going on over here? What's the question? What's the answer? And what's the drasha? It doesn't really make all that much sense. So the Malbim has a gevaldic read. It's the same as the Chavetz Chaim Rambam 4, just a different usage of it. It's gevaldic. So he explains like this. He says, the Taras Kohanim is struggling with a very fundamental question about hechsher mashkin over here. The Taras Kohanim begins by thinking, maybe the pshat is that food can't be mekabel tumah unless it's wet. Food itself can't be mekabel tumah unless it's dry, but if mashkin fall on it, then the sheretz touches it, then the sheretz transfers its tumah to the water, and the water transfers the tumah to the food. If it's wet, it'll transfer. If it's not wet, it won't transfer. That's what the din of Hechsher Latoma is. It acts as a facilitator, like we said in the Ramban. And in fact, he puts in parentheses here, and it would come out that if it was dried, it wouldn't be a Mashal Kav Tumah. Amazing. Meaning it turns out if it was dried, you wouldn't have a transfer of Tumah in such a case. Fine. So says the Malbim like this. So Nicha, if that's the case, Nicha, if you have a case where the food is standing there and the water gets poured on top, and then a sheretz falls on top of that. Because now it's wet, and the sheretz touched the water, which touches the food, which makes everything tummy. Sort of like Chad Gadya, yeah? The sheretz touches the water, which touches the food, and that killed the goat. So that's the Hemshech HaDvar. It makes a lot of sense over there if you have the water poured on top. Oh, but what if you have the water on the floor, a puddle of water, and the food sitting on top of that, and the sheretz climbs on top? So it's touching the food that's touching the water, but it's touching a dry part of the food. So maybe there's no tuma that's going to transfer. Answer is the Taras Konim. No, tuma, a drasha, kamash malan tuma, that even if the water is not directly touching the sheretz, which is touching the food, even so, you're going to have hechsher lekabel tuma, and therefore you're going to have a transfer of tuma. And the Malbim says, you know, like Rashi, that the idea of the wet touching, it has nothing to do with the transfer of tuma, like the Ramban, but rather it's machshirit and makes it into an ochel. Says the Malbim, what's the drasha? What's going on over here? So this is exactly the same deal. The pasuk says, v'chiyutan mayim on zera, the nafal min avlasim alav, tamei hu lachem. It is tamei. What do you mean it is tamei? If the din is that it has to touch the water, which touches the food, they are tamei. The water becomes tamei, and then the food becomes tamei. Tmeim hema lachem. Says Malbim, no, that's the drasha that Taras Kohanim. Tamei hu lachem, even if it's only touching the food. Even if it's not going through the water, it's not about the water. The water is machshir it to be food. Now the food is mekabel tuma regardless of the water. You don't need a conductor. You don't need the channel of the water to transfer the tuma. As long as the water touched the food, that's enough to make the food. Now mekabel tuma on its own, tamei hu in singular, you don't need it to be tmeim hema. You don't need the water to be there, or you don't need the water to be the thing that's transferring the tuma onto the food. This also calls into question, there are Mar Makomas about this, whether how much of the food has to become wet in order to transfer a tumma now, in order to be mashal lekabel tumma. The whole food needs to be wet, most of the food needs to be wet, enough that makes it healthy to eat according to the Sefer HaChinuch. I mean, you have to figure out the details over here, but this Malbim obviously relates to that as well. One famous nafkamina is the Rambam and the Rashba. The Rambam I put it on the sheet for you, source number 6, the Rambam tells us that when you have this din that you need das, you need ratzon of the bite, you need ratzon, for hechsher latuma, the water can't just fall randomly. You have to want it to be there. V'chiyutan v'lashon v'chiyitain. So the Rambam takes for a davar pasha that it has to be das bailim, meaning the owner of the food has to want it to be there. But if some random guy says, "I want the water to be there," even though I'm not the owner, that doesn't work. Sounds reasonable, but the Rashba quotes a Tosfos. The Rashba on Chulin and Lamed Aleph quotes Tosfos, who assume that's not true. They assume anyone, any Joe Shmo, could have the desire, and that will make this thing hechsher lekabel tuma. So all the Achronim say, Bepe'echad, that basically this machlokas is exactly what our machlokas is as well. It does not muchach that it has to be this way, but it makes sense. The Rambam assumes, and this is not pasha in the Rambam, but this is what they say, the Rambam assumes that you need das bailim because this is a case of making something into ochel. I have prerogative to turn this into an ochel, turn into a kli, to turn into some item because I own it. If I'm not the owner, I don't have the prerogative to choose. I don't have the koach to choose. I'm not the bailim to say, this is ochel, this is a kli, this is something that's now nigmar melachto. But if you assume that it's not about bailus, it's not about changing into a kli, it's about whether it's wet or not. Is it wet or it's not wet? Okay, there's a tnai that it has to have ratzon. So anyone's ratzon will work. And it doesn't matter if it's the owner, it doesn't matter if it's someone else, the ratzon will affect it. You look in source number 7, and something else I wanted to get to, Rashi, but we'll leave it for now. L'maisa, the Ramban is very, very challenging. So many basic dinim that don't fit into the Ramban. So the Kli Chemda has a really, really long arichus. I know that's a double language, but it's fitting for this Kli Chemda. It's very long. So at one point in the beginning, before I stopped reading it, he had an interesting suggestion that I only saw because the Machon HaMaor edition pointed me to there. The Kli Chemda says, very, very interesting suggestion. He says, the Ramban probably agrees with Rashi. The Ramban agrees with all Yisod. You look in the Ramban quotes Rashi, and then he says, V'tam HaHechsher. The Ramban is not saying, I disagree with Rashi. He's not saying, you know, V'eino Emes. He's not saying a new pshat. He's saying, Rashi tells us the correct pshat, which is that things can only become tamei when they have hechsher lekabel tuma, because that makes them an ochel, and even after it's dried, it's still going to have kabbalas tuma. Says the Ramban, but if that's the case, if it's really just about the fact that it becomes ochel, so then why doesn't machshava work? Why can't I say to myself, this apple is now shem ochel? Why can't I think that? You have such a thing, you sometimes need an action in together with it, but you have such a thing in tuma in general, machshava makes a difference. So I should think that this apple is now edible, this apple is now shem ochel. So this is the Ramban. Rashi's correct that it's about the Hechshel Lekabel Tuma, making it a Shem Ochel, but it's not enough to have Machshava. There's also a need for the wetness. What's the need for the wetness? Comes the Ramban and says, here's Taimei HaMitzvos. Here's Taimei HaTorah. Here's a little bit of the background behind what's going on metaphysically. This is why the wetness is so important. But in Echanami, the Iker defining din over here is that it has to be that it's made into a Shem Ochel. And the Ramban will agree with all those sides of the Nafkamina that assume that you need to have Ratzon, and that assume that even after it's dried, it's still going to be Kabbal Tuma. But the Ramban was giving a Tam Ladavar that it shouldn't be that you run away with this concept of Machshava based on the fact that the Yesod is true, what Rashi says, that Hechshel Kabbal Tuma is about making it a Shem Ochel. Okay, that's the classic Chakira in Hechshel Ochlin L'Tuma, and those are some of the Nafkaminas, and hopefully a few nice Diukim along the way. Shkayach.